Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The bus that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Every show has a theme, and today's theme is improving communication, something we all need to do. My first guest showed us the power of why when it comes to inspiring and motivating people. My next guest will give us four time-tested principles of how to communicate with people. He believes, and he will show, that with a little discipline, anybody can cut through the jungle of clutter and effectively communicate with anybody. If you want to communicate with us, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area, it's area code 805-639-0008. Tim Noonan is a corporate entertainer. He's a keynote speaker, memory expert, and a Las Vegas magician, performing around the world for the last 15 years. He was born into an entertainment family. Tim's father was the actor Tommy Noonan. Many of you might remember him from the movies Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and A Star is Born, with Marilyn Monroe and Judy Garland, respectively. After a childhood of acting, Timothy began his performance career in the theme park industry way back in 1988, and he was contracted for a five-month run at a theme park in New York. Tim is captivating audiences from New York to Japan with his high energy, natural charm, professional showmanship, and he's here to show us that it's not magical to effectively communicate with anybody in business or at home. Welcome to the show, Tim. How are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you, Bill?
Well, I am doing very well as well. Thank you for calling in to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. So let's just get right into it. I mean, you come from a show business background. So what has your life, both in and around show business, taught you about effective communication?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. One of the biggest things I learned growing up, not necessarily to do with communication, but it was some of the communication I didn't receive as a child. Growing up with a father who was in the movies and always gone, I was pretty much a latchkey kid. But one thing my father did that I learned on my own without any impetus was that he always just went for it. He was one of the first independent filmmakers. This was when the studio system ruled the industry. He would just move forward with intent and direction with anything he wanted to do, and the word no didn't exist. So that wasn't verbally communicated to me, but, you know, in my observation of my father and the way he ran his life, that was probably the biggest legacy that he left me, was the ability to move forward, take action consistently, and no didn't exist, can't didn't exist. So I just learned, you know, basically by doing and observing.
Isn't it interesting how actions do speak louder than words? And that's the enduring message that you got from your father. I think that's fascinating.
Absolutely.
Now, you started, interestingly enough, you started your career as a magician.
Yes.
All right. Since then, you sort of branched out into corporate training, into corporate speaking, and so forth. But you've developed in your course of your travels a four-step system, and you show that there's no magic behind effective communication in your system. So tell us, what is that four-step system?
Well, it's actually pretty simple. The first thing is self-observation, and that's the most important thing. You know, I believe the three biggest blocks to communication are poor listening skills, having that reactive behavior, that reactive mindset, and really an inability to open up to new ideas. So the first technique that I point out is called mirror. You know, it's holding up the mirror. And it's really the ability to sort of step outside of ourselves and begin to observe our own communication style. So in order to be really effective communicators, we must first understand the way we currently communicate with others. You know, people are very quick to judge other people and their communication styles, but very few people have the internal discipline to stop, process, and observe their own behavior. So I think that's a really important technique to develop before we can even begin the process of working on our communication skills.
All right. Well, that makes sense, Tim. I mean, that's very logical. So tell us, you know, if we haven't taken the time to stop, process, and evaluate our own communication style, how would you go about doing that? Give us some clues that would tell us how we communicate.
Well, I'd say just when we're engaging in dialogue with others, we're engaging in any type of interaction with others, you know, be vigilant for signs of maybe impatience, frustration. Maybe when we're listening, we're not really listening. We're just hearing and we're waiting for our turn to speak.
So often, you know, with salespeople.
We want to get our point across. Right,
right.
You know,
right.
So the questions we can ask ourselves is, am I really listening here, or am I simply waiting for others to finish so I can get my point across? You know, am I open and receptive to these new ideas, or is it my way or the highway? You know, am I closing off before I even really hear them out and balance the pros and cons of the point? You know, I'll just digress for a moment here and tell you, you know, for years I considered myself a Democrat, and what I decided one day, and this was a couple of elections ago, is that I was attaching a certain belief system to the word Republican and to the word Democrat.
Okay.
And I realized that I was eliminating half the candidates based on my attachment to what I thought a word meant and not weighing them on their own merits. So in a sense, I was, you know, negating or eliminating potential great candidates for office when I just had this attachment to a word. So I had to let my attachment to the word go and be open to new possibilities.
I like
and,
that.
You know, this comes back to observing ourselves. I just happened to notice that I did that myself, and so I took action to remedy that. So another question is, you know, do I have a clear and concise message when I'm communicating? Or am I just rambling before coming to the point? Am I working my way around it because I want to be liked or I want to be thought of in a certain way? So by asking ourselves these types of questions, we can begin to see how we interact with other people. And that's really the beginning of the self-observation process.
Gotcha. We're talking to Tim Noonan, everybody. Born into a show business family, now he's out on the speaking circuit talking about how we can become more effective communicators. He's talking today about how it's a jungle out there. And our first stop along the way was self-assessment. That's the first of the four steps in your four-step process, Tim. So what comes next?
Well, I would say, you know, be attentive to the words we use. There are a lot of words that are powerless or robs us of our own power or our communication. You know, Norman Vincent Peale, of course, once said that if you transform your thoughts, you transform your world. So how do we transform the way we think? Well, if we're vigilant and we listen to the words we use, like you always do this, you never do this. You know, what we're doing is reinforcing a negative statement or we're not taking responsibility. So, for example, I have a friend who tells me constantly, she says, I am never organized. I just can't get organized. And she's really reinforcing that belief system that not only is she currently unorganized, but she will always remain so. You know,
yeah.
It's like if a family member does something wrong and you always mess up, you know, you're reinforcing in both of your minds that not only did he or she mess up, but he or she will always continue to do so.
Well, it goes back to the old Henry Ford saying, doesn't it? If you believe you can or if you believe you can't, you're right.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's interesting you bring that up because the word can't really means do not know how to or don't want to. So replacing can't with won't is a very powerful statement. It's taking responsibility and ownership. That's another great word. I'm glad you brought that up. The word try is, you know, as we all know, a very lukewarm word, meaning we're leaving ourselves an out. Can you pick me up after work? I'll try. Meaning if something better comes along, you're out of luck. You know. So yes or no, commit or don't commit. You know, powerful, responsible people commit. They take action.
Got it. All right. So that's step two, is pay attention to the words that you use. What's the third step?
Well, still continuing on that second step.
Okay, let's continue on.
Not only listening to the words you use, but having an understanding that we can replace them with different words that take responsibility, take our power back. So you could replace try with yes or no. You can replace can't with won't. You can replace if with when. You can replace problem with solution. So those are just some examples.
All right. So hold on. Let's be sure we've got all of those. Try, you replace with yes or no.
Correct.
Can't, you replace with won't. I won't do that.
Right.
Or all right. And if, you replace with when. Problem, you replace with solution. I get the first two, but let's talk about problem and solution. All right.
Problem and challenge.
All right. Oh, problem and challenge. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Problem and challenge. So the problem is that we don't have enough money each month at the end of the month to pay our bills. How do we reframe that?
That's a challenge, which kind of makes it, it buys into our competitive spirit mindset that that makes us want to solve that challenge or problem. Rather than, oh, the weight of the world, this problem. And not to really play a verbal semantics game with ourselves, but to really convey that those words do have an impact on the way we view the situation.
Absolutely. So, words are powerful. There's no question about it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, think about it. People do it all the time in the media to galvanize people to action. You remember, estate tax is now the death tax. The
right.
The average person would say, I don't have an estate. That means nothing to me. What? They tax me when I die, galvanizes people to action. So words are huge triggers for emotional response. So replacing the word problem with the word challenge is just another way to get you focused on solution mode rather than depression mode.
Gotcha. Do you have any other powerless words that we can replace with more powerful words?
I think that's
that covers
the main
it?
Gamut of this
okay.
for the purposes of this conversation.
All right.
Would be the ones. Those are the main, most common ones.
All right. Those are the.
I would say if people start there, that's a good starting point.
All right. So the first two steps in your four-step process is self-assessment of where we are, how we communicate. Second is pay attention to the words that you use. What's the third step, Tim?
The third step is learn to listen. Very, very important. You know, listening really helps us realize, you know, not only is there more communication skills than talking, but it's to understand people. You know, it's to understand where they're coming from, the way they see the world, the way they interact in the world, and why. So listening is a wonderful skill. Oftentimes it's just not practiced enough, you know. So in a lot of disharmony in home, in the workplace, arises because of verbal misunderstandings. So the art of listening is getting lost, and our culture is very competitive. We want our point to be heard, so much so that we tend to tune people out, and unfortunately, especially those who are closest to us.
All right. Well, how can we become better listeners, Tim? Because one of the big things about listening is that you have to hear what the other person says. But so often I go into a conversation, I've got a predetermined mindset. It's not that I'm not listening to what they have to say, but I will listen to what they have to say. If it doesn't fit into that predetermined mindset, I discard the information.
Right. And that's what I said way back with the self-assessment, was being open to the possibility that you may discover something not only about the listener's way they see the world, but the way you see the world, and be open to the possibility that maybe they have some information that can change the way we see our world, you know, and make us better, more rounded people. So what I would say is, if you want to do the task of improving your listening, is when people speak to you, not only engage them in eye contact, look them in the eyes, truly listen attentively and ask questions. Don't just hear the words. And if you find yourself getting in that reactive state because you have a completely different belief system on whatever topic they're speaking about, take a moment to process that, realize that that's what you're going through, and still be open to the possibility of hearing them out.
All right. We're talking to Tim Noonan, everybody, who's helping us to improve our communications. Tim, we're going to have to break here in just a second for some commercials. But before we do that, I want to ask you this quick question, and then I want to tease the audience to come back and listen after the break. But the question I want to ask you before the break is this. There are some people who say a tip or a technique to be a better listener is to repeat back the last three or four words that somebody said to you prior to your turn to talk. How does that fit in? Does that work, or is that just some sort of hijinks that people do?
No, I would actually challenge them to repeat it back in different words. For example, One of the most useful questions to gauge if you truly understood is, I'm going to use my words to repeat back what I believe you mean. What I hear you saying is. And then you are repeating it in your own words, and they can say, no, you're not quite getting the point. And they can elaborate further or say, yes, that's it exactly.
All right. All right. We're talking to Tim Noonan, everybody. Our theme today is improving communication. Tim is giving us his four-step method. He's given us the first three of those four steps.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
The living brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. My special guest this half hour is Tim Noonan. He was born into a show business family. That's right. He's the son of Tommy Noonan. You might have seen him in the movies such as Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and A Star is Born. And Tim is a star in his own right. He's out on the speaking trail right now teaching people how to communicate more effectively. Our theme today is better communication, and we were going through Tim's four-step method for more efficient communications. We'd gone through the first three steps: self-assessment, pay attention to the words that you use, learn to listen better. Now, Tim, before we get into number four, I got to ask you, if people want to learn more or if they want to get details behind these four steps, where would you send them?
Actually, what I've done is I've created an instant downloadable PDF just for your listeners.
Oh.
So if they enter into their internet browser, the website tinyurl.com/ Tim, T-I-M, radio. So tinyurl.com/ Tim radio. They will instantly be able to download these techniques. It's all created in a beautiful PDF, and I've actually thrown in a fifth one just for them as a sort of a bonus.
Oh,
so that's
thank you.
Just for your listeners. And it does not need the www.
All right. Just tinyurl/timradio.
tinyurl.com/
Thank you.
timradio.com/timradio.
All right. Thanks for that. And thank you for the special giveaway for our listeners here on Positive Talk Radio KKZZ. So the first three steps we'd gone through, the fourth step in your four-step process, Tim, is?
Well, once you've done the self-assessment, once you've replaced powerless words with powerful words, and once you've engaged your listening skills and learned to repeat back in different words what the people are saying so you can gauge your understanding, technique number four is really clarifying your communication. You know, we communicate much more clearly with our coworkers and our loved ones, and we actually deepen our compassion and understanding once we communicate clearly. So by taking healthy, constructive action in a situation, rather than letting our emotions dictate the words that come out of our mouth, we develop the action side of the brain so we can communicate logically rather than emotionally. Now, you know, we have letdowns in life, and we can either let it go or we can react emotionally, but the idea is to stop and process in that moment before we speak. So it's basically stopping and thinking before breaking out in a reactive emotional verbal burst. So this allows you to process what's going on, what you're feeling, and this cooling off moment will then allow you to move forward with purpose and action instead of blaming, ranting, raving, and letting your emotions rule you.
All right. We're talking to Tim Noonan, everybody, and we're talking about better communications. And, Tim, your four steps, do a self-assessment, pay attention to the words you use, learn to listen, and then clarify your communications. They sound great. They also sound a little bit academic. So let's put some picks and shovels into the hands of our listeners so that they can actually put this into practice. Let me give you a scenario. Okay.
Sure.
And this is more of a personal life scenario. Your teenage son or daughter comes home after school today, says, I wrecked the car. I backed into a pole as I was leaving school. What do you say? How do you improve your skills? How do you prevent from going off the deep end and just going off on your child?
Well, first, take a breath. Realize that you probably have insurance and it's covered, so you can take that moment to process. And then you want to engage them in a healthy, constructive dialogue about exactly how the events transpired. Now, you may have to, of course, you know, children are, you know, we're unpredictable. My grandmother used to say, you cannot put an old head on young shoulders. So they are going to learn by experience. They're going to have that empirical knowledge of getting in the accident. And ultimately, you're the parent, so you're going to dictate what actions you take after that. But the initial phase is stop, process, evaluate mentally, you know, without screaming or yelling, and then find out exactly what happened. And I'm not saying that there aren't moments when you need to be firm, you need to raise your voice, and you need to do that, of course. You know, life is dynamic, and every situation is different. But in this case, sticking to the facts, finding out step by step what happened, also keeping them grounded on the facts, you know, they're carrying a lot of weight bringing this information home. You know, so what are they bringing to the table? Put yourself in your 15-year-old shoes or 16-year-old shoes.
Let's hope it's 16, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. And imagine telling your parents the scenario. So put yourself in their frame of reference for a moment also, and that gives a little bit more compassion to the moment, so then you can deal with it logically and effectively.
All right, we're talking to Tim Noonan, everybody. We're talking about effective communications, and that was a real-life example of something that would happen in your day-to-day life outside of work. Let's get a little bit more practical, because many people are listening to the sound of our voices at the office, either at their desk on the radio or over the computer. So, Tim, let's look at a different situation. Let's take a look at you working with a coworker. That coworker has promised you a report by 10 o'clock this morning. That report is extremely important to you finishing up your work for the rest of the day and meeting your commitment to the boss to get that report in the boss's hands. But you find out that your coworker has not delivered on the promise. The stuff hasn't been there at 10 o'clock as promised, and it's now a couple of minutes before 11. How do you more effectively communicate in that situation?
Well, I would hopefully... You know, you've communicated the effectiveness of the deadline, and ultimately they're responsible. So if it didn't get done, it needs to get done in the moment. So maybe save the blame and the accusations for a little bit later when you're all three sitting in front of someone who's accountable, like your boss. But in the moment, it needs to get done. Your job is also perhaps on the line in this scenario. So maybe sitting down with that person, having them drop everything and working as a team to finish the project now. So that's what I would say, something proactive rather than reactive. Again, how can you, even though the deadline is passed, get this done so your boss can get it? So I'll tell you what, if you pull up the Excel spreadsheet and I give you the numbers, you plug them in, let's just get this done, print it and get it to the boss now. So what steps need to be taken to make it happen immediately? You can save the blame and the accusations, you know, for the break room later.
Mm. All right.
Take positive, proactive steps. You know, one time I was bringing actually a client back to my house, and I had said to my girlfriend at the time, you know, there was a sink full of dirty dishes, basically, I said, I get home at 4:45. Could we have those cleaned up, please? That would be really helpful if you would do that. I came home at 4:45. They weren't done. My client's arriving in like 5 minutes. So I didn't know what her day was like. I didn't know what caused the delay. I just said, these need to get done. He's going to be here. If I wash, will you dry? So we just proactively handled it in the moment rather than judging and blaming and accusing.
I love it. We're talking to Tim Noonan, everybody. We're talking about effective communications. And let's continue down that business theme if we can for just a minute, Tim.
Sure.
So a lot of the people that are listening to our voice are in sales in one form or another, or customer relations in another form. So what are some steps for gaining rapport with customers or clients and coworkers in the workplace?
Well, there's three simple things, matching, mirroring, and modeling. By that I mean matching the tone and the pace and the rhythm of which perhaps your potential client speaks, you know, sort of mirroring their posture, not exactly. You don't want to be a parrot and have it become painfully apparent that you're matching, but the modulation, the tone and the rhythm in which they speak, if you just sort of match the rhythm, let's say they have their arms crossed and they uncross them. You don't want to cross and uncross your arms, but you might be sitting and then cross your legs. So you match their gesture with another gesture, and you're just getting into the rhythm of the way they communicate and move, because people like people who are like them. So the more you can mirror, match, and model their rhythm, their tone, their inflection, their movements without parroting that, the more in sync and in rapport you will be.
All right. Well, let's take that. Let's go back to your first step of the four steps, which is self-assessment. You take the self-assessment. You figure out what your communication style is. And let's say your communication style is slow and laid back. You're
right.
From the South or whatever. You've got a very slow cadence and all that. And you run into a fast-talking New Yorker who happens to be one of your coworkers and just gets on one of those rants where they're going like a machine gun a mile a minute. And you say the three ways to build rapport are matching, mirroring, and modeling. So in a case like that where the communication style is so completely different from your own, how do you develop rapport then?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question because in that case, you know, you've got personality clashes also, and what's going to come up immediately is the emotional resentment of that type, the big city guy or the country bumpkin, and those judgments, opinions, biases, those filters are going to start appearing very quickly when you process information. So obviously, you know, you're not going to develop a Texas drawl or a New York accent, you know, instantly. But you may want to just slightly speed up or slightly slow down, because remember, if you are the one initiating the rapport, it is up to you and it's your responsibility to step it down a notch and be aware also of how people perceive you and how they might perceive you as different. So you really want to adapt to the tone and the emotion of the room without completely changing your personality. It can be done in very subtle ways.
All right. We're talking to Tim Noonan, everybody, who is a communications expert. We're talking about how to better and more effectively communicate. Tim, we're down to just a couple of minutes left. So one of the things that it intrigued me about you is that you started out as a magician.
Yes.
And that's really what the hook was for me. So your magic makes you memorable. But what role does being memorable play when you're trying to be an effective communicator or a leader?
Well, being memorable is, I find the people that I remember most that had the biggest impact on my life as far as leadership qualities, they were their word. Very seldom did they gossip in the workplace, because it is said that those who gossip to you will gossip about you. They were clear and direct in their communication. They expected results. They expected greatness. And they have the ability to delegate. So, you know, those overall qualities really made me admire and want to emulate that. How clear and effective communication just changed everything. One time I had a boss very quickly here that would just come in, and he was kind of a tyrant, and just point out mistakes. You know, you did this. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I was terrified of the guy. So rather than gossiping, I took it to him. He was the person who could do something about it. If I have something to say, I take it to the person who could do something about it. And we discussed it, and I said, you know, I'm nervous. He said, that's just my way of communicating. It's just the way I communicate. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to get a job done.
Right. Yes,
Tim.
That
gave me a new understanding of his skill sets, whether that was correct or incorrect. But the next day, he put a little gift of a $100 necktie on my desk, and said, that's for all the hard work. So
very good, Tim. We're going to have to close it there. I'm sorry. Tim Noonan is our special guest this half hour, and that brings us to the end of another show, Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, every day, Monday through Friday, here on KKZZ. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell on Positive Talk Radio, 1400 AM KKZZ.